Well, hello everyone to the Air Raid Podcast presented by Viva the Matadors. You are on once again with Albie Shore. And as always, I got my right hand man, Dylan Smythe. What's up, Dylan?
All of the emotions being experienced in the last few days. It's been an interesting weekend.
Yeah, we've had quite the roller coaster as Tech fans, right? So started off, we lose to K-State. We lose to K-State. If you listen to the last pod, actually, so funny enough, the last pod was our 150th podcast. Not you and me, but the 150th edition of the Air Raid Podcast. So we didn't even celebrate it. But
the 150th podcast that's now available on Spotify, by the way.
That is now available on Spotify. Yes. Thank you for shouting that out. Dylan worked hard on getting that on Spotify. So now we have us on Blog Talk. We have us on Apple Podcasts. And we're on Spotify. So all the different ways you can check us out. But so the 150th podcast, it was a really good pod. I mean, that was the passionate y'all as far as after that loss to K-State. Both you and I really couldn't take it anymore. And unfortunately, going into the Baylor game, the guys, it was just so impassioned for the team. What were your thoughts on the Baylor game?
I thought Cliff it looked like he knew something on the sideline during that game. There were times where he looked deflated. The team just didn't. I don't know. I think everybody knew something that we didn't. I think it was already over at that point, and it showed on the field.
Yeah, so you do think that maybe he knew he was getting the can beforehand?
Or maybe he knew that if he lost this game, it was over. Because at the end of that game, he looked like he knew it was over.
Yeah, see, that's what I think. I don't think he necessarily knew that it was over before, but I think he knew if we lost that game that he wasn't going to come back. Because there were some parts, especially early in the game, where he was very energized, very excited after big plays, as if, like, thank God, you know? But then at the end, it really looked as if he just looked deflated, like, you know, like this is it.
And if you listen to the Kirby Hokut's radio show leading up to the Baylor game, and Jacob Harris, friend of the pod, pointed it out, you listen to Kirby speak, and it kind of seemed like he was already thinking about letting Cliff go. So there was, I think, that game definitely had implications for Cliff's job.
Yeah, definitely. Well, so one of the things, though, let's talk. We got to talk about it. So now so Alan Bowman's injured, didn't play. Jed Duffy's injured, didn't play. McLean Carter was a starter. So for the second time this season, McLean Carter came in, and right off the bat, 54-yard pass to Deion High. Looked like, okay, well, maybe this is the McLean we saw early on in the Ole Miss game. Maybe he can get something going. Right after that, he injures himself again.
I swear his ankles are made of plastic. Like, the dude just, oh, it was.
And he
and he had he to played play hurt. The whole game. He played the rest of the game.
Yeah, he played the hurt the entire game. He winced. He went to the locker room. Personally, I thought after that first drive, you put Colt Garrett in. He's not – McLean Carter, and props to McLean Carter for powering through it, but he wasn't healthy the rest of the game whatsoever. I look at it and say, you know, how is Colt Garrett bad? Like, is he that bad where you do – and I think it's a situation where Cliff Kingsbury is really big on trust. He can't trust Colt Garrett, and I get that. But, dude, like, you got to try something because not that McLean Carter necessarily played bad, but he couldn't do much.
Yeah, and I tweeted something that he floats five-yard out routes, and it's terrifying because he does. Like, he can't complete just the little – The easy passes that are supposed to be money in an air raid system look scary to me when he throws them. And I wanted to see Colt Garrett as well.
Well, yeah, and so the thing about it is that with that is because he seemed like he didn't step into any of his throws. And it wasn't – he doesn't have the arm strength of a Pat Mahomes and an Alan Bowman that when you don't step into your throws, you can still zip it. He doesn't have that. So the fact that he wasn't really able to step into his throws – that's why I floated. And he had two picks. I mean, that was him floating balls were a direct correlation to that. And he actually could have even had more. McLean Carter in this game, 21 for 37, 247 yards, two touchdowns, two picks, 6.7 yard per attempt. That's just not good. It's not going to get it done. One thing I will say, Dylan Ward had a pretty decent game, and I kind of wish we'd have ran the ball with him a little bit more.
I've said that I've felt that way a few times this season about De'Leon Ward. The last 3-4 weeks, it seemed like he was the hot back, but we were down, and we didn't have the luxury of being able to run the ball, and it's unfortunate, because De'Leon Ward was looking pretty good.
And another thing I'd like to point out, kind of transition a little, is what happened to the 806D? What happened to this vaunted defense we've talked about all year that, man, Gibbs really got these guys playing well? I could argue this is probably was their worst game of the season.
Yeah, it's really, really confusing to me with the whole team knowing that, hey, your coach's career is on the line and you can't come out and just lay a fat egg.
Yeah, it was bad. John Levitt, I believe he matched his career output in one game. 28 carries, 125 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, John Levitt, it seemed like he was an all-pro or an all-conference back, and he's just not. So the fact that Baylor gave him the ball, felt confident to give him the ball 28 times, and he rewarded that confidence, that's just not good. I think we did a decent – other than the – so Denzel Mims did what he does. He's the best player on the team, had 65 yards and 2 touchdowns. But they let Chris Platt get 114 yards receiving.
And Charlie Brewer looked like a good QB in this game, and that's a problem because Charlie Brewer is not a good QB.
Yeah, and that's a big problem. I mean, Charlie Brewer is a guy that's going to be fighting for his job next year when their new recruit comes in. So this is not a guy that we should just be – but at the same time, this is the same defense that lets Skylar Thompson get some wiggle room in the second half. Like, this defense kind of fell apart, and the weird thing is there weren't any injuries. I mean, Dakota Allen was a little hurt, don't get me wrong, but he still played. Deshaun Johnson played. Jordan Brooks played. Rico Jefferson played. All the top guys still played. So I don't understand why we let the Baylor offense really work. And as much as I love Deshaun Johnson, when he leads the team in defense, usually that's not a good thing. Or leads the team in tackles, I mean. It's usually not a good thing.
When your safety leads the team in tackles, no.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely not. So he had 13 tackles. Jordan Brooks actually played a hell of a game. He had 12 tackles himself, a sack, and a tackle for loss, and a pass deflection. So Jordan Brooks actually, he did ball out. I give him a lot of credit. Rico Jeffers also balled out. I give him a lot of credit. But just very disappointing game for this team. And the fact that we're not going to go bowling for the third time in 6 years, fourth time in 8 years. Mind you, in the 30 years before this season, the 30 years before the Tommy Tuberville era, Tech had missed a bowl game twice, two times. And that was both in the Spike Dax era. And or let me phrase, Tech only had two losing seasons before Tommy Tuberville came to campus. Since that, Tommy Tuberville and Cliff Kingsbury, 4 losing seasons in 8 years. That's not good.
And just like Tommy Tuberville, when you lose bowl games, what happens, Albie? You get fired.
And that is exactly what happened. For those that don't know, Cliff Kingsbury, I'm sure everybody knows, but Cliff Kingsbury has been let go of his coaching duties at Texas Tech University. It happened the next day. There were reports from there was initially a report from KSEN Channel 5 in San Antonio that he'd been let go. And that report came out maybe an hour after the Baylor game. That report was based on nothing. Apparently, Tech officials hadn't confirmed that or anything like that. That, to me, that was just a hunch. They had a hunch. They went with it. They wanted to be first instead of correct. But he hadn't been officially fired yet. I believe either that evening or the next day, Kirby Hokut brought him in his office and said, look, Cliff, you know what it is. You got to go. I'm sorry. That had to be one of the toughest things for Kirby Hokut to do. One thing I would say, Cliff Kingsbury is a great man. He's an absolutely great man. He was a blessing to everybody that came across him. Good guy. But unfortunately, in college football, the good guys a lot of the times finish last, and that's what's continually happened to Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, I'll say two things about Cliff Kingsbury. One, if you didn't want Cliff Kingsbury to succeed at Texas Tech, you're not a Red Raider. Like, it would have just been the perfect story, you know, him coming back and just turning this program around, and it would have been awesome. But, you know, sometimes things don't work out, and for Cliff Kingsbury, I almost think he might get a better job after this.
Yeah, well, so the thing is with Cliff is we wanted so badly for him to be Bill Snyder, right? Like, we wanted badly for him to be Bill Snyder, coach here forever, you know. And the thing and we'll coach here forever and consistently have us, you know, national recognition. You know, and that's what we wanted from Cliff. We wanted it to happen badly. We wanted it to happen so badly that after his first year, let's rewind back to 2013. After his first year, we went 7-5. And it was like the most exciting 7-5 that the fan base has ever had. Like, we won 7 straight. Yeah, we lost the 5 straight, but there were so many excuses, so many of, okay, well, but he's still a great coach. He had the offense humming. He had true freshman quarterbacks. We won
that bowl game against Arizona State.
That Holiday Bowl, when he had Davis Webb looking like what could be the greatest Texas Tech quarterback ever, everything looked great. So much so, if you remember, USC in 2014 had just fired Lane Kiffin. And were looking for a head coach. Rumors were that they were going to go after Cliff Kingsbury. We were so scared of that we signed him to a new extension. Well, and so that tells you the excitement, how badly we wanted Cliff Kingsbury to be great at Texas Tech. It's nobody hated Cliff Kingsbury. Everybody wanted him to be absolutely great here. Whenever he talked crap back to Brett Bielema after we beat them in Arkansas, that was our coach. That's the guy we wanted to see. We wanted Fortune Favors the Bold. It was all great, but unfortunately, it just didn't work out.
Andy Reid, Jason Garrett, if you're listening, I got a guy for you. Give him a call.
So before we dig deeper into Kingsbury and some other coaching stuff, so that's the thing. So for Kingsbury, where do you see him going next? If I'm Kingsbury, I don't take a head coaching job. I take an offensive coordinator job. You're good. So the two spots that you just named, perfect locations. In Cowboys and the Chiefs, both good spots. Another one I'm going to throw at you. If McDaniels leaves the Patriots, I could easily see Kingsbury going to the New England Patriots. That'd be a great spot for him as well.
Or check this. Bama's OC is up for head coaching positions. They could be in need of an OC come next season.
So in the college ranks, Alabama, something that I've always joked about the last couple of years, so that could definitely see him. But here's where I think he'll go. This is actually the spot that I think is most likely, in my opinion. University of Southern California.
Yeah.
I think USC wanted him possibly as a head coaching candidate 5 years ago. Clay Helton, they kept him for another year. It shocked me. I definitely thought he was out of there. Kept him for another year. Clay Helton's virtually coaching for his job next year. If you're Clay Helton, you have to call Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury, let's face it, he fits right in well in LA. In LA, as the offensive coordinator, in a weak Pac-12, I could see Cliff Kingsbury taking that over and doing really well there.
I'd rather see him go pro again.
Most definitely. But I think USC fits him perfectly. Especially if he wants to stay in the college ranks. But if he wants to go to the NFL, I do think there's going to be some job offers out there. Another one, my Houston Texans. He already has a really close relationship with Wes Welker, who's on staff. If Bill O'Brien can get his head out of his ass and decide to hire a competent offensive coordinator, that'd be fantastic. But yeah, I definitely think that going pro would be – any head coach is smart enough to hire him as an offensive coordinator won't regret it. But even the big power conference teams like USC, like Alabama, also would not regret it.
You know who's currently coaching QBs in Dallas? Kellen Moore. You remember that name? Does that name do anything for you?
John Moore, is that the former Texas Tech coach?
Kellen Moore. He was a really good quarterback.
Kellen Moore.
Yeah. Really good college quarterback, garbage in the pros, and he's coaching Dak Prescott. Like, what? Come on now.
So, what do you think Cliff would take? What do you think Cliff would rather have? Would he rather be a quarterback coaching the NFL or an OC in college?
I think he'd rather be an OC. I would assume he would be the OC and just coach quarterbacks as well. That's kind of what I was
for me, yeah.
At.
But yeah, I'm saying, like, if he can't get an OC job in the NFL and the Cowboys come calling, say, hey, we want you to be our quarterback, not our OC, but our quarterback's coach, do you think he would take that, or do you think he would take the OC at USC or something like that?
No, yeah, then he takes OC at USC or somewhere.
Yeah, unfortunately, what I can easily see happen is he takes an OC job, let's say at USC or at Alabama or wherever, stay there for 3-4 years, and then he gets a head coaching job at
Texas
Minnesota.
Tech University.
well, that means we have to suck for the next 4 years, and that I'd rather not that happen. But But let's say he takes a head coaching job at, I don't know, Minnesota or San Diego State or something. San Diego State. That's actually a perfect example. So he takes a head coaching job at San Diego State, and I can easily see him being great at it. Like, that's what's going to happen. And, you know, and that's, and all, I hope he is. I really do. I think Cliff Kingsbury is a good man, and I hope he gets a great job after that. But, Mr. Smythe, that leaves us. What are we going to do?
What are we going to do? I tell you, it's gone crazy. A lot more wild things have been thrown out into the air than I have expected. It has been a roller coaster.
Yeah, so I wasn't here in 1999 when we hired Leak, so I don't really know how that worked. But I was here for the Tommy Tuberville fiasco, and I was here for that hiring process and the Cliff Kingsbury hiring process. Both of those hiring processes went pretty quickly. After Leach was fired, it was about, I want to say, a week, and then Tommy Tuberville was announced. And in that, I take that back. It wasn't a week. It was a little bit longer than a week because we had bowl prep, and Ruffin McNeil was the interim head coach. But it was really between Ruffin McNeil and Tommy Tuberville. Tommy Tuberville was wanted to get back into coaching. He was probably one of the hottest coaching names out there, and he was interested in Texas Tech. We decided to go for him over Ruffin. It was pretty clean cut. Tech got the guy that they wanted, even though he ended up not working out. At that time, that was the guy that they wanted, and it made sense. You know, a lot of people wanted Ruffin to continue the Leach stuff, but Tuberville made sense. Then, fast forward 3 years, Tuberville leaves us, and he leaves us at like the worst possible time, right? All the best coaches are already taken. All the coaches we first call, we end up trying to call Holgerson, who had just got the West Virginia job, so he can't leave. We called Sonny Dykes, who had taken the Cal job a week before Tuberville had left. I mean, he just took that job.
Chad Morris at Arkansas.
So Chad Morris was at Clemson at the time, and Chad Morris was the OC. He had interest in coming to Tech. And then there was Cliff Kingsbury, the OC at A&M, and of course had interest in coming to Tech. So Chad Morris was the more qualified pick, in my opinion, at the time. But you went with the hometown kid. Why go for Chad Morris when you can just say, let's go ahead and get the guy we want, Cliff Kingsbury? That took 100 hours exactly. So, 4 days? A little over 4 days, we had our guy. This, a little bit more complicated, it seems. There's not a clear-cut guy that we want. There's not a favorite. There's a lot of rumored people. It seems like the first guy that was rumored, and I do think this is the guy that Kirby Hokut wanted more than anybody else, that's Brent Venables. That was the first guy that we heard. We heard a report came out about Brent Venables the day before the Baylor game, or the day of the Baylor game. Like it was quick. That was the number one guy that we wanted was Brent Venables, and that's the number one guy I wanted. I love Brent Venables. He's the hottest coaching ticket out. Him and Kirby Hokut were roommates at K-State together, both linebackers together, and he is arguably the best assistant coach in college football. He's turned down many high-profile jobs, but I thought the relationship with Hokut could work. It sounds like that's not going to be the guy.
So he made a promise to his son, who's a freshman at Clemson, that he would coach him. That kind of seems to be the hesitation there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, part of me just seems like some reporters get out of my face speak, so it's to kind of quench it. He didn't necessarily say 100% no.
Right.
He left the door slightly cracked, but if you're a Texas Tech fan, I would just shut it.
Don't get your hopes up.
I don't think he's going to – yeah, don't get your hopes up. I wouldn't – what I'm saying is that it wouldn't 100% shock me if Venables did, because coaches have done more egregious things when it comes to coming choosing a school. But I just wouldn't – like you said, I wouldn't get my hopes up about Venables.
He's the highest paid assistant in college football, and he's got a pretty cushy gig.
Actually, he's the second highest paid assistant. You know who's the highest paid assistant?
Who's the highest paid assistant?
LSU defense coordinator Dave Aranda.
Oh, a name. A name that's on the list.
Yeah, former Texas Tech grad assistant. But funny enough, he hasn't really been mentioned much this year. Last year, if Cliff would have been fired last year, he would have been one of the top names. A lot of people were very high on Dave Aranda, but for some reason in this cycle, he's kind of been quiet on him.
Yeah, I really haven't heard too anything substantial about Dave Aranda. It's just one of the names that would make sense.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm very curious as far as my guess is he's not even being contacted whatsoever. So it's just kind of surprising. He's a Texas Tech grad assistant coach right now. Is the highest paid assistant in college football. He's the DC at LSU. And they're a top school. So a little surprising he hasn't even been mentioned. So let's get a little bit to some of the guys that have been mentioned. So first off, let's talk about Seth Luttrell and Neil Brown. So those are guys that have been talked about all year long. Tech fans have kind of gotten used to hearing those names. But according to Don Williams over at the Avalanche Journal, he's saying that they're going to be looked at but are not real contenders for the job. Kind of surprising, don't you think?
Surprising, but I like what it says about our coaching search. I think it says Kirby's reaching for the stars. He's reaching a little higher. He's got bigger plans.
The way I look at it with both of them is that those are worst-case scenarios. And they're both pretty good worst-case scenarios. Looking back, when I wrote an article about our coaching targets or the list of coaching candidates, and which made me really dive into both Seth Luttrell and Neil Brown. And both of them are arguably the best coaches in each of their school histories, like already. Seth Luttrell has been there for now 3 years, and they have back-to-back 9-1 seasons for the first time in UNT history. Neil Brown is at Troy. They had, I think, one 10-win season before he got there. They're now about to have possibly three straight 10-win seasons in 4 years. Both of them have done incredible jobs at their schools. The problem that I see for both of them, going from the Conference USA to the Big 12 or from the Sun Belt to the Big 12 are huge leaps. And that's kind of the issue there.
And something Kirby Hokut said in the press conference after announcing Cliff was fired was he's looking for a head coach who has a proven track record, like someone who's been around the block for a while. And then he wants someone who's able to recruit the state of Texas. And I think that's maybe where Neil Brown kind of gets nudged out a little bit. Seth Luttrell could recruit the state of Texas. You know, he's in Texas. But I think we're reaching a little bit higher. And there's a couple names we're going to talk about that would be a better hire than Seth Luttrell.
So here's one hire that it kind of makes my head hurt because I think there's a very, very good chance he gets the job. And I'm not a fan of his whatsoever. But he has been around the block a lot. He's probably, out of all the coaches we're going to name, he's probably the most tenured coach. And that's Jim Levitt, former South Florida head coach, current Oregon defensive coordinator. He, for those that are tracking flights, somebody came up the other day saying that they believe that he had an interview today, on Tuesday, with Kirby Hokut. Levitt was Kirby Hokut's linebacker coach while he was at K-State. I'm not a fan of this choice whatsoever.
Here's your saving grace, Albie. He was at Colorado at the DC a few years ago. Colorado's also looking for a head coach, and I've been heard they're also very interested in Jim Levitt. So maybe they save us and swoop him.
I've heard that too. Actually, I heard he's the front runner for the Colorado job. So it seems to me like whoever gives him the job first is going to be the one that gets his services, whether it's us or Colorado. I'm saying Colorado, y'all got it. Y'all can have it. I'm just not a fan. So, and one thing I'll say is I think it's a little hypocritical because we fired Mike Leach because of player abuse. Jim Levitt was fired because of much worse player abuse. He slapped a kid. He apparently choked and slapped a kid. And so that's not a – I just don't think that Jim Levitt's the good guy. Also, not only that, but right now him as a defensive coordinator at Oregon, they are currently the 7th best defense in the 12-team Pac-12, and last year they were the 8th best. So he struggled as a DC at Oregon so far. Colorado, he was pretty good. I mean, I'll give him some credit. At Colorado, with Jim Levitt, they went to the Pac-12 championship game. Their defense was pretty stout. I'll give him credit at Colorado. But at Oregon, hasn't been good so far. South Florida, they were okay. They were decent. But since he's left, they've actually reached higher heights than when he was there. So I just don't think when Kirby Hokut is saying that we've been elite before and we'll be elite again, I don't think Jim Levitt's the one to do it.
I'll tell you a name that I like a lot more than Jim Levitt. Dana Holgorsen.
Dana Holgorsen.
That's the pick. That's it for me. I didn't even – I think that was in the realm of possibility, and now I'm like, oh, yeah.
So every day I think there's a better chance this happens. So my number one has been Brent Venables for a while. 1B is Dana Holgorsen.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Dana Holgorsen, the West Virginia head coach, has been at West Virginia for 8 years now, and he's had a tumultuous relationship with the West Virginia fan base, with the West Virginia admins. Point blank, a lot of people over there don't really like Dana. The reason why a lot of fans don't like him is because we want to get back to the Rich Rodriguez glory days when they were, potential national championship implications. And yes, I agree. He hasn't necessarily got them there, but he's had a couple 10-win seasons. He's been able to. I mean, look at the talent they have on the team right now. He's been able to recruit out in the middle of nowhere in West Virginia. You know, he's going to have better. And let's face it, West Virginia, they get a lot of credibility on name alone, right? Like, West Virginia is not this mega, you know, program like everyone kind of thinks they are. Their facilities are crap. They just got new facilities. Their old facilities were crap. The new facilities that just got in still aren't as good as ours that are, you know, that aren't, you know, they have newer facilities and it's still not as good. The money that's pumped in the program isn't as much as ours, you know, so that's the thing. And I read a report today that West Virginia knows that there's a chance that Dana Holgorsen may leave and has been looking at possible replacements. So instead of doing something like, oh, let's try to give him an extension, let's try to give him a raise, they're saying, if he leaves, he leaves.
We'll take him. That's all I'll say. Yeah. We will take him.
I think Dana Holgorsen, in my opinion, checks all the boxes. Former head coach, has vast experience in recruiting in Texas. It's not like he stopped when he went to West Virginia. He's still recruiting in Texas.
Right.
He's been doing it at Tech, at U of H, at West Virginia. He's been recruiting in Texas. Been around the block for a few, you know, quite a bit. Dana Holgorsen, man, he former Tech coach for a long time. Would still be running the air raid. I think it's a match made in heaven.
And what if, like, Holgorsen retained Gibbs? Oh, that would be sweet. What's that? If Holgorsen would retain Gibbs.
That's true. It could happen. And it's likelier to happen than not. So for anyone that says, why would he do it? I mean, this is why. The moves like this do happen a lot. Also, I have not heard that Holgorsen hasn't turned it down. Like Venables has kind of closed the door a little bit. Venables has. Holgorsen has not. Holgorsen hasn't said anything about it. Holgorsen hasn't said anything at all. So there was a high-ranking official, quote-unquote, that said that he's not in the mix. What I'm thinking is that, like always, some Tech high-ranking officials don't agree with other Tech high-ranking officials. I think there's one guy that's not on board with the hiring that's going to have to get on board. Listen, Holgorsen, with the exception of Venables, I think Holgorsen's the best name out there. I think he works. I think that he's going to be a guy. If you look at West Virginia the last 8 years, if you would have given Tech those same credentials, we still have our head coach. You know, I mean, I've said for a while, we're not, as Texas Tech, we don't ask for much, right? We ask to consistently have winning seasons, to consistently make bowl games, and to every once in a while have a pretty decent season, like a good 9-10 win season. That's what he had at West Virginia, and he's going to have even better resources at Texas Tech.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer to me. And who doesn't want to go work for Kirby Hokut, the best AD in the country?
That's another thing. And so it's another thing for those that people like saying, well, why would Brent Venables come? Why would Kirby Hokut come? Because he is arguably the best AD in the country. And so he's very accommodating. Anybody who is able to give that long leash to Cliff Kingsbury is a guy that you want to coach for. You know, he has your back. He's not going to talk down on you. He's able to work well. I've never heard of Kirby Hokut having a bad relationship with any of the coaches, even once he's had to fire.
Yeah, it's
okay. But yeah, no, Dana would be, I think, the perfect match. But like I said, right now, I think if I had to put my money on who the heck next head coach is going to be, I don't know. I really don't know who it's going to be. But if I had to put my money on it, what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, I would say that it's either going to be Jim Leavitt or Dana Holgorsen, and we'll find out soon. One thing I will say is that Kirby Hokut's moving fast. I do think we're going to find out in a week. I think we should have a guy. He's moving fast, especially before more dominoes fall. Luckily for us, with USC keeping Clay Helton and with North Carolina hiring Mac Brown pretty quickly, we don't have a lot of competition for coaches. The only really other schools you got to look out for is Maryland, who I don't think is recruiting the same type of people we are, is Louisville, who may, I don't know, and then you have
Colorado. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's but again, there's in my opinion, I think Tech is – you could argue that Tech's probably the best job out of the four, and so – but you still want to move fast. You don't want any other domino to fall.
Yeah, and so I'd be remiss if I didn't at least mention there's some smoke out there for Mike Leach.
So let's talk about
Mike Leach. We need to navigate the Mike Leach situation.
Let's talk about Mike Leach. So Mike Leach, Don Williams again put out a report that Mike Leach would be interested in coming back to Tech, and that there is almost 10 Tech official donors that were willing to pony up the dough to pay for 2009 and for whatever buyout from Washington State for him to come over here. Mike Leach, the next day, talked to Joel Anderson from ESPN and said, why would I go there? They haven't paid me from 2009. I'm happy here, et cetera, et cetera. Then a report came out next day saying Leach is lying. He definitely is interested in the Texas Tech job. Don't listen to him. most of the time I say, I got to believe the coach. But I don't believe Mike Leach. I definitely think he would take the job. Mike Leach, this is coming from a guy that tries to leave Washington State every year. You mean to tell me that you really love it in Pullman? You try to leave every year. Not only that, but we do, if we're willing to pay 2009 and we're willing to pay for his buyout, and it seemed like money's not an issue, it would just really be a matter of people stop being petty, like burying the massive hatchet burying, because he did sue the school, but the people he sued are all no longer here. So I don't know.
Him and Chancellor Hance, that's about it. If they could just get over it, we're fine.
See, and that's the thing. I honestly think that the high-ranking official at Tech that is telling Kirk Bowles that, Tech doesn't want Leach back and Hogeson's not here, I think it's Ken Hance. I really do. I think Ken Hance is the one calling Kirk Bowles and saying, we don't want him back.
I'm dreaming no little dreams here. I want Mike Leach.
I don't. Mike Leach is a great coach. He is, but let's move on. We get Dana Holgorsen. We get all the joy of Mike Leach without any of the pain, right? Like I'm not on the Leach. I'm not on the bring back Leach train. If it happens, great. It'd be like if it happens, they need a 30 for 30 on it. To be honest, it'd be an incredible story. But I don't hold your breath on it.
Oh, great! So we'd have another 30 for 30 with head coach that has some anger issues.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But the last 30 for 30 was mostly about Indiana.
It's true.
So another guy that's been out on the wire. So we got to talk about Matt Wells from Utah State. He was also mentioned as one of the front runners by Don Williams. I like Matt Wells. He's done a pretty good job at Utah State. I got to give him credit. Before he became the OC over there, they really didn't do much. They came on, he became the OC, and they started going to bowl games. Then he became the head coach and continued going to bowl games. Matt Wells done a good job at Utah State. But he's young. He's only ever coached at Utah State. He's never coached at a Power 5 conference, ever, period, and even in assistant capacity. So I'm not a fan of that pick, even though I do think he's a good coach, and I think he's going to be successful, and I think eventually he will be a very good Power 5 coach.
And he was one of the names that surfaced early. From what I saw, it was him and Jim Leavitt were the first two names that I saw come up for the job. And I think you're right. He's done really well at Utah State. I remember they had a quarterback named like Chucky Keaton, and he was a baller. And you're right. He's only coached in Utah, so that's a big X on being able to recruit Texas. So it doesn't fit what Kirby Hokut just said he wanted to hire. So that's why I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Wells, I feel like if he was hired, he'd do one of two things. He would either end up being like the greatest coach ever and we would consistently win 10 games, or he'd be one of the worst coaches ever and we consistently lose 10 games. Like, I don't think there'd be any middle in between with Matt Wells.
And I think so. You got any other names that you're hearing?
Yeah, so last but not least, another name, Mike Norville from Memphis. Apparently he's also being looked at. Now, for the crowd that does the whole, we need a coach that's not going to just do well here and use as a stepping stone, you might not like Mike Norville, because that's, if he was to come to Tech, that's what he would do. He wouldn't really have any connection to, I mean, so would Matt Wells, for that being said, but I don't have any connection to Tech, but he's just a really good coach, and he bounces around to better opportunities. I think that he fits more on the East Coast a little bit. Like, I could see him being the next head coach of Maryland or of Louisville than of us, but he's a good coach. I'm not going to knock him. He's a very good coach, and I think he would do well here.
I think of all the coaches that are kind of being rumored for different jobs, Mike Norville is probably one of the hottest names out there. He's turned around Memphis.
Nationally, so
Paxton Lynch under him was incredible.
Yeah, he was. So I Mike Norvell would be a good get. I mean, a lot of these guys would be good. Honestly, I'm not against most of these guys. I just really don't want Jim Leavitt. Like, that's really the main guy that I wouldn't want. Like, everybody else I put my full support behind. Jim Leavitt's the one I'm like, ugh. And I really think that Kirby has to think about this, right? I do agree that he's arguably the best AD in the country. Hiring Jim Leavitt would be a big hit to your credibility and one that would only be regained with wins, right? Like, if you – let's say you hire Dana Holgorsen and he doesn't – he's not successful, that's not going to look bad on you because it was a good hire. If you hire Brent Venables and he's not successful, it's not going to look bad on you because it's a good hire. If you hire a guy like Jim Leavitt that seemed like a bad hire at the time and he's not successful, well, then that's on you, Kirby.
And football's the king of sports. It's incredible that you see people out there on Twitter like, fire Kirby Hokut. Those people are freaking lunatics, but it's because we haven't won football games. And so, well, yeah, another, you're right. He can't, if he makes a bad hire, oof.
Yeah, and another blog that I'm not gonna name them, but another tech blog actually put out talking about Kirby's failed hired attempts, and I thought that was a little of a stretch. But he talked about that he hired Al Golden at Miami, and he hired Cliff Kingsbury at Tech. Both have failed. So, you know, it would be interesting, but a hire like Jim Leavitt, I do think is something that may turn a portion of the fan base against you. I think a lot of them will still remember the fact that you've been great almost everywhere else, but a portion of the fan base, you do a hiring like Jim Leavitt, I do think, well, you get some head turns and some, are you serious? You know, that's why sometimes, you know, I worst come to worst, Kirby, don't sleep on Latrell or Neil Brown. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, I think both of them, you can't go wrong with either one of those, to be honest. Especially Seth Luttrell. He, a former Tech coach, has Graham Harrell on staff. You know, that's the safe pick, in my opinion. If you get to a point where none of the guys that you want are gonna come, that's a safe pick going with Seth Luttrell that the fan base is still going to be behind.
So if I'm let's rank them a little bit here. If I'm dreaming, I want Leach. If I'm kind of dreaming, I want Venables. If I'm being realistic, I want Holgorsen. And then I'm cool with, like, Luttrell.
So are we ranking who we want?
Yeah, I don't know. That was just – so I'm just making numbers and attaching names next to them.
So who I want would be 1A, Brent Venables, 1B, Dana Holgorsen. 3, I would probably say – Mike Norvell. 4, give me Seth Luttrell. And 5, give me Mike Leach.
Cool.
That'd probably be my top 5 of who I want. Now, who's realistically going to come here? Man, I'd probably say 1A right now is Jim Leavitt. Or 1, Jim Leavitt. 2, Dana Holgorsen. 3, Matt Wells. 4, Seth Luttrell. 5, Neil Brown.
I'm drinking this Dana Holgorsen Kool-Aid. Like, I think there's some serious action happening. Like, they're on the phone as we speak.
I do too. I really think, man, if I could see, because my thing with Dana is that, look, dude, when your contract is up, let's say you go with a 7-5 you have a 7-5 record, you could get, they could fire you off of that, not because you're a bad coach, because they don't like you. And the thing is that a large portion of the fan base don't like Holgorsen. He's been there for 8 years, right? He has so many, he still has a lot of strong ties to Texas Tech, to West Texas. If I'm Dana, man, you got to think about this long and hard.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, if they haven't accepted you within 8 years, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and another thing is I don't think money's going to be an issue. Like I said, it doesn't seem like West Virginia is going to fight for Dana. So we can give him a raise. We can pay his buyout. They're not going to fight for him. Money's not – if we have donors willing to put up millions and millions of dollars to buy out Leach and to buy out and pay for his 2009 salary, we have the donors that are going to have no problems paying for Holgorsen. Money's not going to be an issue. I could see us saying, you know what, let's pony up the dough. Let's give Holgorsen what Kingsbury's contract was, which is a pretty nice-sized contract. He was the fourth highest-paid coach in the Big 12. I say give that to Holgorsen.
He gets a raise, and he gets to go somewhere where maybe he'll be accepted if he starts winning some football games for us.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be accepted from day one. I really do. I think Holmes is going to be accepted from day one. I'd rather him get a haircut first, but...
I mean, I'm sure he still has friends in West Texas and connections in West Texas, so...
Yeah, his last I heard, his family, like, his kids still lived in Lubbock. Now, I think they may have moved since then. That was a few years ago that I heard that, but, you know, even still... Like his, you know, the fact I know he still has connections out in West in Lubbock, so that that really would be a great move.
And it seems likely to me at this point.
Most definitely. So it sounds like the ARP is endorsing Dana Holgorsen as our candidate for the Texas Tech head coaching job. I know I am. So.
This message has been approved by the Air Raid podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, Kirby, I know you listen to this podcast. Big fan of the show. Just make it happen with Dana. I think he'd fit in perfectly. Not only that, though, but if Dana was to come to Texas Tech, a couple things. One, the John Denver Bowl would be so intensified.
Oh, my so gosh. Yes.
Oh, it'd be great. Not only that, but my dream scenario would be Holgorsen to Tech, Mike Leach to West Virginia.
Just stop it. No.
Would be insane. That'd be crazy. Tell me, West Virginia.
It'd be the best rivalry in sports.
Oh, it'd be awesome. It'd be fantastic. That would be our new A&M. Like, we would hate between the two schools would be so great. So fantastic. And then not only that, but it builds our credibility. Let's face it. Tech's cred took a hit when Tuberville left for Cincinnati. Right? It took a hit. It took a hit because some dum-dums out there were like, whoa, you know, Texas, stepping stone for Cincinnati. No, it was a coach that just hated the city of Lubbock, wanted to get out, and Cincinnati was his first way out. But it wasn't a stepping stone for Cincinnati, nor is Texas A&M a stepping stone nor is Florida State a stepping stone for A&M, nor is Oregon a stepping stone for Florida State. Like, coaches make decisions that are in their best interest, like as would Holgorsen when he goes to Tech. But him going to Tech will definitely up our credibility after that Cincinnati departure.
Well, yeah. What was the story? Tuberville left while he had a recruit, like, in a restaurant?
Yeah, because he's a douche noggle.
That's a good way to lose some credibility.
So, but that'll about do it for the Air Raid podcast. Man, this has been a kind of a long, extended one, but, man, the coaching search has been hot and heavy. Actually, before I leave, I got to remember the Tech basketball team. They're playing this Saturday in Miami in the MIAO against Memphis. Speaking of former coaches, Tommy Tuberville is not going to be the coach. He actually coaches at High Point now. But still, I mean, it was interesting. He did leave us for Memphis. So this is a way for us Tech fans to get some sweet vengeance.
And just quick recap on Texas Tech basketball. Undefeated, won a tournament, whooped Nebraska. I think we're what, ranked 20 now?
We're 20th right now. We're 11th in KenPom. This Tech basketball team is for real. I mean, they are for real. I tweeted out something that I still don't think they're better than we were last year, but we are arguably more talented. We're definitely deeper than we were last year. We're arguably more talented top to bottom. So this team is they're going to be good. They're already trying to put some teams on notice. We have not lost a game. We have not won a game by less than 15 points so far. So, really good team.
So, we are going to start doing basketball pods. When are we? Sunday?
Yeah, we're going to start recording basketball pods. Likely next week will be the first full basketball pod of the season. We'll get into that. Zach Mason's going to join us on a few pods, giving us some around-the-country stats and stuff of that nature. For those that don't know Zach, he is our managing editor at Viva the Matadors, and he's also the world's biggest pessimist. It'll be fun.
Should be good. Basketball pods coming to you soon.
Coming to you soon. We are a basketball school now, so.
Yep.
So anyways, Dylan, where can the people find you on the Twitter sphere?
At Dylan Smythe 92.
At Dylan Smythe 92. And of course you can find me at Mr. _ Albie Shore. As always, that's Dylan. This is Albie. Stay wrecked, people.